Ave Maria, the following program discusses adult themes. Viewer discretion is advised.
Well, hello, everybody. My story begins on February 25th of 2009 when I innocently and unsuspectingly showed up at a Catholic church to do ashes. That's it. Smudge my forehead and I'll be on my way. Me Catholic? I don't think so. First off, Catholics were kooky. As far as I was concerned, everyone had inhaled way too much incense. Secondly, I had been in not-so-gay life for 35 years with no plans to ever leave, and all my gay friends had told me forever that the Catholic Church is an awful place to hang out if you are same-sex attracted. So this was just going to be a quick drop-in and fly out. Now, perhaps you're wondering how I ended up in a not-so-gay life where I'd have only a 7% chance of a relationship lasting more than 3 years. I'd be more at risk to suffer from depression. Depressed I was. I'd have a greater chance of becoming alcohol or drug addicted. My drug of choice was food. I was bulimic for 13 years. And I'd be much more likely to kill myself than the rest of the population. Yeah, I tried that a couple times. How on earth did I end up in such a place? Well, strangely enough, I never concluded I'd been born that way. The Catechism of the Church states its psychological genesis remains largely unexplained. I, however, have a clue or two what may have rendered me vulnerable to same-sex attraction. I grew up in a pretty dysfunctional home. As a matter of fact, had reality television been around in the 1960s, we'd have gotten our own series. My mom was alcoholic and depressed, and for the most part, unable to express any kind of affection to her daughters due to her afflictions. Dad was also an alcoholic, but he'd stopped drinking a few years before I was born. However, he was what you'd call a dry drunk. He had anger issues. Most of his rage was directed at my mom, but there were a few times I feared for my life. But in spite of Dad's volatile temper, he was the love of my life because he was the nurturer, the involved parent. I was that little girl who, when I was down the street playing with friends and I saw that car pull into the driveway at the end of the day, I was going, "Dad!" and running home and jumping in his arms and clinging to him the rest of the night. But I also grew up a little confused because I was pretty sure that the love of your life could annihilate you at any given moment. I began to exhibit signs of gender identity confusion at a young age. Watching my mother be abused by my father caused me to reject my femininity. I saw Mom as weak and vulnerable and helpless when it came to defending herself against Dad's angry outbursts. Well, there was no way I wanted to be like her. It's taken me a lifetime to figure all this out, but I'm pretty sure that my father's assaults on my mother, which took place right before my eyes, implanted a message on my soul. This man, whom I love with all my heart, devalues women. My solution? I'll be a son. I not only wanted to stay safe, I wanted him to approve of my life. And when my father left us, which broke my heart, my mother put on me all my dad's jobs, mowing the lawn, taking out the garbage, putting up the storm and screen windows, fixing things around the house. I'm now the guy at home. And my masculine identity became enhanced. My outward appearance was androgynous at best, and I'd be mistaken for a boy many times throughout my life. Inwardly, I felt big and tough, all 5 feet of me. And sadly, this rendered me a target for ridicule and rejection from boys. I wasn't asked out on a date all through my teenage years. It was in junior high school that I began to emotionally gravitate to women, desperately looking for that love my mom couldn't give me due to her alcoholism and depression. I believe this is what I was trying to find in every same-sex relationship I created. One more significant thing that took place during my formative years, that's when I entered high school. I became very attached to my high school music teacher and his wife, who happened to be my English teacher. They had three sons, and they began to refer to me as the daughter they never had. Well, they were absolutely the parents I always wanted. We were tight. I have no words to convey to you how much I loved them. And as graduation approached, I was a basket case. I didn't want to leave high school. I wanted to stay there the rest of my life because I was so scared that if I left, they'd forget about me, and I'd suffer yet another loss. But a couple days after graduation, I was hanging out in the choir room with my teacher, and he looked at me with love pouring out of his eyes, and he said, "You know, now that you've graduated, we don't have to hide how much we love you." And my heart just melted. It's like, oh, cool. So I went off to college, and when I'd come home on weekends, they'd be my first call. But right from the start, things were different. Phone calls were over in a matter of minutes, and rarely did they invite me over. It was then I realized they weren't my parents. I had just been the teacher's pet. And now there were other students taking my place. I didn't get mad. I didn't cry. Not then, at least. I just died inside. My ability to feel affection, love, emotion, vulnerability for a guy, done. So now I'm off of college, pretty psychologically disturbed, but trying my best to stay afloat. I should mention that God and church had always been a big part of my life all through my growing up years, and it appears at age 19 when I was a sophomore that God honored that faithful persistence by giving me something I really wanted and needed. And that was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Shortly thereafter, I would have my first relationship. For years, I tried to understand, how could this happen? I mean, here I was totally on fire for the Lord, and the next thing I knew, I'm totally in sin. Well, that relationship lasted 8 months. It was long distance, and when we were together, most of our time was spent crying and lamenting that we were headed straight to hell. And when she ended it, I was a mess. But I did what I always did. I ran to God and I ran to church. And that summer, man, I came up with a brilliant idea. I'll go to Bible college. That'll solve everything. So I hopped on a plane and flew far away from that same-sex mess. But you know, funny thing, wherever you go, there you are. And in a matter of months, I'd get involved in same-sex relationship number two. This time with one of the instructors at this very conservative Bible college I'd run to. Oy vey, what a soap opera. Well, I would fight my inclinations towards same-sex attraction for 9 years because I was taught you couldn't be a Christian and engage in homosexual sin. But along the way, I read a book by two evangelical women that said God was A-okay with a loving, monogamous, committed homosexual relationship. And then I found a group of active homosexual evangelicals who believe the very same thing. So at age 28, I decided I could actively engage in homosexual sin and be a Christian and find standing with the Lord. Hello. Well, being an evangelical practicing homosexual Christian had its challenges. There I was, claiming to be a Protestant who believed that the Bible was the authoritative word of God, infallible and inerrant. So right off the bat, I got problems because Scripture condemns homosexual behavior in both the Old and New Testament. For years, I bounced back and forth between strict and more relaxed churches, knowing that the truth of the gospel was being preached in the no-nonsense churches. But once they started in on homosexuality being a sin, hasta la vista, baby, I am so out of here. I then run off to a nice, no-anything-goes type of church where I'd be accepted. But my spiritual needs were never met. I share all this with you to let you know that my desire to have a relationship with God was always in my heart, as is the case for many active homosexuals. Not once did I say, "I love women, so forget you, God, and so long, church." When I finally bought into the lie that my sexual orientation was homosexual and there wasn't a blasted thing I could do about it, I came out to God. "Lord, I'm a Christian. And oh, by the way, I'm gay!" But to continue my relationship with him, I needed to reinterpret the scriptures that identified my behavior as sinful. Rather than conforming my life to God's word, I had things all twisted around in my mind so that the words of the Bible fit my agenda. And how'd that work out? Not so well. Running from church to church, one failed relationship after another, an eating disorder that was ruining my health, chaos, drama, constant upheaval. Oh yeah, what a gay old time I was having. I remember one particular dark and dreary day when I was feeling pretty hopeless. There I was looking out the window at a cloud-covered sky, and my heart cried out, "Lord, have mercy on me." Within a matter of seconds, there was a small parting in the clouds, and I saw a little patch of blue. It lasted less than a minute, but it was enough to let me know that God was still with me. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, thou art there. After my parents divorced and my world caved in on me, to comfort myself, I'd ride my bike to the schoolyard and swing on the swing set. My remedy for surviving this devastation was to be married by the age of 21, and then I'd have my own family. But as the years went on and I suffered more rejection and abandonment, marriage and family became something I absolutely couldn't pull off. I remember arguing with God. I just wanted someone to love me. I wanted to belong to another person. How could he possibly mean for me to be alone the rest of my life? Wasn't it bad enough that I'd been robbed of a happy childhood being stuck with two parents that were clueless as to how to love? Now I'm supposed to be sad and lonely forever? Seriously, are you kidding me? What kind of God requires such a fate? This was my battle with him, and it went on for 35 years. No matter how insane things became, I couldn't let go of that all-consuming desire to have another person to share my life with. And that person had to be a woman, because I was way too messed up to let down my walls around men. Well, 6.5 months after I started to attend Mass, I hit bottom. It was then I surrendered. It went something like this: God, you're right. I'm wrong. You've been right all along. I'm done. I walked away from my ungay life and haven't looked back once. Well, getting through RCIA required another act of divine intervention. For 5 months, I argued about everything. I drove my instructors to drink and nearly got myself booted right out the door because I continued to believe that Catholics were the craziest people on the planet. And yet in my heart, I really wanted to become one. Go figure. It's a rather amazing story how the conflict within me was resolved, and there might even be a book out there that details how that all came to pass. Suffice it to say that on April 3rd of 2010, I came into the church jumping and shouting. Thank you. But I also came in limping because I was still deeply wounded and in need of healing. Well, a friend told me about courage and suggested that might be a good place to start. So I got on the internet, jotted down some numbers, and started to make some phone calls. No such luck. I couldn't find a chapter to attend. But God had other plans, and it turned out to be paragraph 2359 from the Catechism of the Church. Here's what it says. Homosexual persons are called to chastity by the virtues of self-mastery that teach inner freedom, at times by the support of disinterested friendship, by prayer, by sacramental grace, they can and should gradually and resolutely approach Christian perfection. Without even being aware of it, God orchestrated the events in my life to incorporate three things mentioned here that have brought healing to my heart. First of all, disinterested friendship. When I surrendered to the Lord and committed myself to having relationships that honored Him, I had a problem. I didn't know how to have godly relationships with other women. No kidding. I was clueless as to what a healthy relationship would even look like. Where were the boundaries? How much emotional involvement was appropriate? Should intense feelings be avoided at all cost? I was actually hoping to find a book that would spell all that out, but God did much better. One night a friend called me. She's in her 80s. She said, there's an inner healing group starting up at the church next door to you, and you need to be there. I mean, word was out I was crazy, so. She gave me the number of the person to call. I said, yeah, whatever, and it sat on my counter for 3 weeks, at which time my friend called back and said, well, have you called Ann? That's the leader of the group. It's like, no. Well, she hung up on me, called Ann herself, and said, she'll be there. I've been there for the last 2 years. With five other women, I've shared my wounds, my sins, my past, my dysfunction, and they've shared theirs. And we have accepted each other. We have listened to each other. We have prayed for each other. And without even knowing it, I developed those wonderful, godly, loving relationships with other women. But a beautiful gift from it's called the Shepherd's Group, has been the leader, Anne, who not only opened up her family to me, I spent holidays there, my birthdays there, I got to know her husband, Paul, and up close, I've witnessed a beautiful Christian marriage that works. Anne also opened up her big maternal heart to me. She's the mother of 11, so she's got the mom thing down pat. One night we went to a workshop, and I like to sit in the front, and her daughter liked to sit in the back. And so Anne bent over and gave me a kiss on the cheek. And she said, okay, well, you have a good time, and we'll see you in a little while. And in that simple gesture, it's like God was able to reach back in time to that wounded little girl who had lost mom's love a long time ago, and He began to heal my heart. So that's the first thing, disinterested friendship. And then secondly, that paragraph mentions prayer. A few months after I entered the church, I was directed to a ministry called Unbound. My many years spent disobeying and rebelling against God's law allowed strongholds to take root in my heart. I needed someone to help free me from the weights that bogged me down and held me back from the abundant life Jesus was holding out for me to be embraced. Well, there were two miracles that took place that day. First of all, I was set free. Believe me when I tell you, I left walking on air. But the second miracle was a guy by the name of John. There were folks praying that day who were women, but God in His wisdom had me sit face to face, kneecap to kneecap, with a kind, gentle, compassionate man for who 90 minutes simply loved me. He took me back to the toxic places in my life where I harbored resentments and unforgiveness towards myself and others. Not once did John judge or reject me as we trudged through the wreckage of my sinful past. He just led me out of darkness into the light and helped me let go of those bitter and angry feelings that had been ravishing my soul for years. And the result? My heart, that I thought had died 37 years earlier, began to beat again that afternoon, be it ever so faint. Well, 2 years later, Anne and her friend Tricia did some theophastic prayer with me. Theophastic takes a person back in time to traumatic events in childhood where Jesus speaks truth to the lies we believed about ourselves in the moment of those painful episodes. You see, it's the lies that mess up our lives. Long after the event has ended, we continue to act and be influenced by the untruths and distorted thinking that were birthed in the moment of that original pain. Now, the goal of theophastic is for a person to develop an awareness when a current situation has activated old pain. When I overreact to something, that's a clue that a historical event has been triggered. There's an unhealed wound that just got whacked, and I need to retrace my steps, expose the lie, and ask Jesus to replace it with truth. And that probably didn't make a whole lot of sense to you, so let me share something that happened one night. I was at a prayer meeting, and there's a couple there who minister at the prayer meeting, and rumor has it they're growing rather fond of each other. So I'm sitting there in the pew, and I'm looking at the two of them, and I'm envisioning their beautiful Catholic wedding, their fabulous honeymoon in Hawaii, their six perfect little Catholic children. I got all the way to their 25th wedding anniversary, and now I'm depressed. Now, mind you, he's not up there on his knees proposing to her. I mean, he's playing the piano. She's leading the meeting. They're pretty much ignoring each other, so I don't know. Maybe I've overreacted just a little bit. And at this point, I'm not thinking about theophastic, but I mean, I'm into my stuff. But the question is, what stuff? Because there's so much of it. But I heard my heart cry out to the Lord, Lord, how come nobody wonderful ever wanted me? There it was, the rejection in my own life, and now the loss of marriage and children, and now grandchildren. I'm to that age. So I asked that, and you know what I heard? Because you're so unattractive, nobody would ever want you. Well, at that moment, theophastic kicked in, because I had the presence of the mind to say, Jesus, is that true? And clear as a bell, I heard, absolutely not. I adore you. But then it gets better, because I felt the presence of the Lord sit on my left side, wrap both of his arms around me, kiss my head, and hold me for the next 40 minutes. At the end of the prayer meeting, they were offering to pray for folks, and I am always bolting to the prayer line. But that night, I couldn't budge. I couldn't leave the embrace of the Lord. That's theophastic, my friends. But I get when they say by prayer, that means that I need to have a prayer life. And truth be told, I can't pray in my apartment. I am just too distracted. Well, thanks be to God, I'm part of a church that's open 7 days a week. I get there at least for four of them, and I get there early. But even more wonderful is the church next door to me. The pastor insists that the doors stay open every day till late afternoon, and there's been many times I've had that whole church to myself. I've been in there singing and crying. I've even danced a time or two. Very cool to be all alone with Jesus at his house. And then thirdly mentions in that paragraph, sacramental grace. As soon as I got the green light that I could go to confession, I went to a very serious priest and confessed the sin of homosexuality. At the time, I'd been walking in victory for many months, but I wanted absolution before the Easter Vigil when I would come into the church. 6 months later, the same priest anointed me with oil for the healing of my broken heart and damaged soul. And then, of course, there's the Eucharist. I go to Mass a lot, and here's why. Because even though I'm not worthy that he should enter under my roof, I believe that if he'll just say the word, my soul will be healed. Guess what? It's being healed. It began with John, who prayed for me. And then I became friends with Phil. He makes me feel special, and I love it when he tells me I'm pretty. My neighbor Craig is big and tall. And when I'm around him, I feel safe and protected. It's a wonderful feeling. And Father Richard, He's kind, nurturing, smart, funny, and affectionate. He also gives kisses on the cheek, and I think that's just too darn cool. 4 years ago, the best I hoped for was to be obedient to Jesus and remain chaste. No longer feeling emotional attractions for women and being okay with being single, that's something I never imagined could happen. But the fact that my heart lights up when a certain guy walks into the room, I find myself going, seriously? Seriously. Now I get it. Now I know what St. Paul meant when he wrote these words. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Oh, so that's my story. I just came for ashes, got turned inside out, upside down, redone, remade, renewed. Whoa! Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was so lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. God love you.
Thank you.